Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Q&A meet and greet with the Spence family. We've got Jacob Spence and we got Ange Spence. Ange, can you tell everybody what Ange is short for?
Well, my legal name is Angela, and so I just have always gone by Ange. I'll be okay with Angela or Angie. It's good. Usually when my mom was disciplining me, it was Angela. So.
Well, thanks for being here, guys. And we want to welcome everyone online who's here for the live stream. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, we have the Hovland family tuned in as well. So Mike, Jody, and the boys, if you are there, special greetings to you from Edmonton all the way up there to Lacrete. And we're so thankful to have you all here and with us. Maybe as we get started, why don't we just begin our time in a word of opening prayer. Well, Father, we are so thankful to be here tonight. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and grace toward us. And what a moment for us to celebrate your grace in the lives of Jacob and Ange Spence. And so, Father, we just commit this time into your hands. We recognize that you have foreordained our good works beforehand, that we would walk in them. And Jacob and Ange are here with their boys to determine if Grace Life is to be a place where, well, it is to be the place that you have already decreed before the foundation of the world that they would come and serve and minister here. And so we just commit this time into your hands, Father. We pray that you would be glorified, that what you have done in their lives would be on full display. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, how have the last few days been for you guys?
Wonderful. Yeah. We have so enjoyed meeting so many new brothers and sisters, and hearing testimonies, hearing stories of God's goodness and faithfulness in their lives, and it's been a blessing. And to have as many children our own boys' age to be able to, that our boys have been able to connect with, it's been wonderful too. So, yeah, we're enjoying this very much so.
Yeah, the impression that I've gotten is that Grace Life is leaving quite the impression on them. And so we knew that would happen, of course. And you know, you should be encouraged. Your faith, the faith that is here at Grace Life Church, it does resound. Our church is talked about by others who leave Grace Life, end up in LA, for example, for seminary and share what God's doing here. And so it's a blessing for us to be a part of that. And thank you for receiving them so well. Why don't you guys go ahead and tell us your story? And you can kind of share this. You can kind of do this together. We can see you functioning as a team as you just kind of tell us your story. You can start wherever you want. It'd be great to hear how you came to know Christ. You can talk about seminary and how that came to fruition. It's all yours.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we should start by introducing our three sons. So Brooks is 16, and Kingsley is 14, and Tyrus is 11. He'll be 12 in November. You guys want to stand up and turn, face the... Yeah. So our story is like everybody else's story here, saved out of depravity. When Ange and I met... we were in our, I guess, late 20s.
Early 20s.
Early 20s, okay. That's the first correction.
Let's not make ourselves older than we are.
Yeah. That was very gentle.
It was, okay. Just the facts. So we were married in 97. We started dating. We met at a party, both unbelievers, both raised in Christian homes, grew up in church, heard the gospel many, many times over, but for myself, walking away from the church and really even wanting to anything to do with God at about the age 14, 15, around there. And so the Lord was kind in preserving my life despite my sinfulness. We got married in 97, and then for the first 7 years of our marriage, we were without children.
Yeah.
And then God in his goodness, although we didn't deserve it, he blessed us with a son. So Brooks came along in 2004. And it was about 6 months into his life that he came down with meningitis, bacterial meningitis, and that was in October of 2004. I woke up that morning not seeking for God, but
me neither.
When I as I went to watch a baseball game at a friend's place and had just cracked open my first beer of the evening, the phone rang, and it was Ange saying, "You need to come home. There is something wrong with Brooks." And so he had been seizured for between 45 minutes and an hour by the time we got him to a hospital. And the Lord used that ordeal to open our eyes to our sinfulness and to God's holiness. And so for me, my transformation occurred on a highway in between a little town called St. Pierre where the hospital was and driving back to our hometown of Grunthal. And I had on my mind, I need to get home and ask my mother to pray for us.
Yeah.
But even before getting home, I already surrendered my life because I realized that there was nothing that I could do, nothing at all. And whether it be the gospel that I had heard so often, knowing that God existed, but just living a life of rebellion, rejection towards him, it all became very apparent to me on the road between St. Pierre and Grunthal that I needed to surrender and hand over the reins of my life. And I did that. And I have to also admit that I experienced the peace that passes all understanding that so many people talk about, because as we continued through that ordeal and Brooks remained in the hospital for the next 2 weeks and it was in quite critical condition, Ange and I both just came to a realization that he was a gift from God, and for however long we'd have him, we would be satisfied with that. So,
and you don't come upon those realizations as a mother on your own, that, you know, the peace that God gives you, that I remember Jake and I having that conversation. So with somebody that Jake had said, you know, well, we're thankful for him, and if the Lord takes him, that's okay. And that was the growth really quickly during that time. While we were in the emergency with Brooks and they're strapping him to a gurney. I mean, he's just tiny, right? And I remember going into the bathroom and, you know, as a mama, my baby is, you know, now completely sedated because they finally have managed him to get him under control. Just looking in the mirror and saying, you know, Ange, get a grip. You're not going to be able to handle this unless you get a grip. And I know that the Lord doesn't speak audibly, but it was like, you can't handle this. You have nothing. You have absolutely nothing to offer him. You have nothing in the way of controlling over this. And that was just such a huge, like Jake said, you know, just being taught as children, you know, properly from our parents and in church, you know, going back to the gurney, and Jake is standing beside the gurney and they're ready to put him in the ambulance, and just saying, Jake, the only thing I know how to do right now is the only thing we can do is pray. And pray. And so we prayed and he left. And I mean, we say his road to Damascus, kind of that S curve on the way back. And I get to go into the ambulance, and they changed the ambulance so that I could ride in the ambulance. And that peace. And the really awesome part of that story, October 20th, 2004, and we celebrate that every year, none of our friends came to the hospital. Not one single one, a group of our friends. But God sent the saints from our community. He sent the people, our aunts and uncles that were believers. You know, we live in a really small town. So, you know, people hear that our baby that we weren't supposed to be able to have in the first place now is sick. And the Christians from the community came. And that's who came to minister to us, to encourage us, to bring us food. And it wasn't until, I don't know how many months later, that we actually realized that. And that was just, it's like, wow, you know, that's incredible. And in reality, our friends didn't have anything to offer us in regards to encouragement or support either. So, and here we are. Brooks is 16 and healthy. And so, yeah.
So at some time shortly thereafter, we decided that we needed to be plugged into a church. And there was a church right in our backyard. And we knew many people attending that church, so it just seemed natural that we would go to that church. We started attending there. And I was baptized in 2006, so a couple of years after what I believe was my salvation in 2004. And a text that came to mind very quickly was, and I think I memorized this probably in my Sunday school days, but create in me a clean heart, O God. And I realized that that's exactly what I needed. The life of sin that I had lived was just terrible. And to be rescued from that and to realize God's grace in that was just so remarkable. So we were in the church there for only a few years, and then I was nominated to become a deacon. The church had a deacon structure of leadership together with the pastors. There were a few pastors there. And so very quickly I found myself a very immature believer, but yet in a kind of a leadership position in the church. And I'm thankful that the Lord used that time to open my eyes to the qualifications for ministry. It didn't happen right away, but as we studied together as a group, studying the qualifications, I realized that I was not qualified to even be there. I shouldn't be there. And so we stepped down, and under some other circumstances, we departed from that church and ended up in another church in our town, the church that I grew up in. And we attended that church up until going to seminary. So,
and it's important to say that during this time, after Brooks was 6 weeks old, Jake went back to school, back to university, back to, first he got his arts degree and then his education degree, and was student teaching when Kingsley was born, and then went into teaching when Tyrus was born. So it was a busy time at that time too. So, which led to going to the further education.
So then in 2006, so 2004 saved. 2006, I was introduced to John MacArthur's ministry through a friend lending me a book called The Vanishing Conscience. And so I read that that book and realized it was very different than anything I had read up until that point, because the church that we were in was studying through books that were just popular on the Christian scene at the time. So we did the purpose-driven life and purpose-driven church and purpose-driven 40-day programs and all of those things. But The Vanishing Conscience had a sobering effect on me, and it allowed me to recognize that there was sin still in my life that my conscience was dull to. And so I'm grateful that there was further repentance that took place. And MacArthur's writing resonated with me. I liked the style of it. I liked how he simply explained what the scriptures were saying. And so it sobered me. I read a few other books. The same friend lent me a study Bible, a MacArthur study Bible. So I started poring over the notes, and then heard that this man has a preaching ministry. So I started visiting Grace to You and devouring sermons, and realized that the teaching that I was sitting under in our community, when compared to the teaching that I was receiving on Grace to You, just couldn't be compared. And I started to realize that it was the expositional preaching that was having this impact and actually growing me spiritually, when that wasn't happening at the same pace in the churches that we had been in. So we're very grateful for that. And that also, I think, began to produce a desire in me to perhaps pursue ministry on some level, maybe even full time. God used the teaching experience in the classroom. So I was in an eighth grade classroom for 9 years. So that allowed me to develop some public speaking skills, giving instruction, teaching, allowed me to receive some trauma as well, being amongst 13 and 14-year-olds on my own for a whole day and for 200 days a year. So that was good as well. It thickened my skin a little. Yeah. And Ange recognized that in me as well. I had a I had a desire to be teaching in the church. So
a good teacher.
Taught some mm-hmm. Bible studies in the church and did some Sunday school classes and was asked to do some teaching in a men's ministry that I was involved in. And so my desire continued to grow up until the point where I don't know exactly how many years ago it was, but it was time to start thinking about seminary because I knew that I wanted to, if I went through seminary, I wanted to learn how to preach like the preaching that I had been listening to on Grace to You. Because I knew that the impact that it had on me personally, and I knew the impact that it was having on others that I was talking to about it as well.
And as he was going through university, you know, to get into the education faculty wasn't easy. You know, there was things that shouldn't be easy, that God just opened door after door after door. We want to be in our hometown to teach. We want to teach grade 8. Well, you know, God blessed him with that particularly. And so it was one of those things that we always looked at teaching was going to be a stepping stone to whatever God had next for us. We thought maybe missions or something. And I always ask, give me 7 years. Because the boys were so little, I don't want to, you know, go to India when they are 1 and 3 and 5, right? So I, 7 years. So I think it ended up actually being 8. The Lord gave us 8 because we went to TMS when Kingsley or Tyrus was 8.
It took some time. I mentioned to Ange that I'd like to go to the Master's Seminary,
which is way in Los Angeles.
I guess a few years before that, I had actually looked into attending a seminary that was just about 20 minutes away from where we live. But I'm very grateful that at that time, the Lord very clearly closed some doors and didn't make that possible. And I'm very, very thankful for that because it certainly would not have been the same type of training that I received at the Master's. And so I told Ange I'd like to go to Los Angeles. That's the place that I would like to attend. And she just simply said, no, that won't be happening. And so I don't know if that necessarily became a major point of contention, but she just simply said no. And I said, well, I'm not going to take you anywhere that you don't want to go. I just wouldn't do that. And so I waited, and I told Ange year after year when the seminary would load up the senior testimonials, which were absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic, yeah.
I would just tell her, hey, they loaded up some new senior testimonials. Maybe you'd like to have a listen to some of those. And I mean, I myself, as I listened to those, I would weep. I would jump for joy. They were just spectacular.
I knew what they were going to say. They're going to say that God is good, God is faithful, and God will provide. And I just did not want to submit to that because I just didn't want to. I mean, we're from a really small town. My family's there, his family's there. And it was just God really needed to do a work on my heart to be able to just say, you know what? Yeah. And so I don't know when it was, 2016. Yeah. I just kind of encouraged him and said, you know what? We're not going to know unless you apply. And so, you know what, babe, just apply. And you know what it takes to apply for that. And so there you go.
And that was really, I think, a shift for us in our marriage, certainly. Not that we had been unfaithful, not that we were necessarily being disobedient, but we just very clearly decided that we would take a step in obedience. And if the Lord would leave the door open, then we would step through that door and see what would happen next. And if it didn't work out, then we would just take that as this is the Lord's leading and we will go in a different direction, but still walking in obedience. And so it was amazing to see how things just started to come together. And I've told people many times that had I sat down and written the script of how I thought it would go, it would be an incredibly boring script to read. But then when we consider and we reflect on the goodness of God, the kindness of God, his faithfulness, and see how he brought things together, we marvel at that. And, you know, it just causes us to realize that his greatness is unsearchable. And we know such a little bit of this great God that we actually serve. And so we've rejoiced in that.
Yeah.
I applied very quickly after she said, yeah, go ahead and apply. I got right to that. And very quickly.
And I started watching the senior testimonials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So within a couple of weeks, we received a reply back, an acceptance letter. Yeah. And then I began my studies. I took 2 online classes and we started the process of thinking about, okay, how can we make this work? We knew we had to sell everything that we had. So we had a 53-acre hobby farm just outside of the small town that we lived in. It was our dream property. We thought we'd probably retire there.
Yeah.
And but the Lord, again, just showed us, you know, just look to me. Don't worry about trying to put together your own plan.
We thought this actually would probably be one of the biggest obstacles was to sell our farm. Just because, you know, it's a valuable property and not anybody and everybody can come and purchase it. So, yeah, he announced in church that we had been accepted to TMS. And I think within the next week, one of the elders from our church phoned and said, like, if you're moving, are you selling your property? Because I would like to buy your property. And he owned land that attached to the property. And then within the week, someone else heard, are you moving to California? Are you selling your property? We'd like to buy your property. And so I think by the end of 2 weeks after saying that we, or 2 or 3 weeks saying that we were moving to California, we had 5 people in line to purchase our property. And so that wasn't going to be an issue, what we thought was going to be an issue. So, yeah.
Yeah, we're very grateful for that, that we didn't have to list. It also just confirmed to us that, you know, we had talked very briefly about perhaps trying to hold on to the property and make seminary possible at the same time, but we very quickly realized that we would have had to have invested a lot of extra effort in trying to hold on to something that we maybe shouldn't, and so we relinquished that, and the Lord was kind in bringing somebody that over a handshake agreed to the price that we asked for and said we could live there as long as we wanted. We could do the transaction whenever we wanted. And if the Los Angeles thing didn't turn out, that the whole deal was off and we would just remain there. So, I mean, you just see the love of God steering the hearts of his people. And this was an example of that in the life of this elder. So we were very grateful for that.
And we sold it in March of 2017 so that we could do our visa application. And then he had said, you can live there up until, you know, you're going to move, whenever the day is that you need to move. And so we said, okay, we'll do the financial transaction. We need to prove you have this money to be able to go and do seminary. And then he says, well, you can just live there. And he let us live there rent-free right till July 29th to 2017 when we drove off the property. And so that was another huge blessing that, you know, that he encouraged us and said, well, this is our part that we can help you with your ministry aspirations that we can do for you. So, yeah, very, very blessed. Yeah.
Yeah. So I took a year of online classes. I guess I took 2 classes while I continued to work just to kind of get my head wrapped around what seminary studies would look like. We moved at the end of July of 2017, arrived in early August, and got right into seminary, started meeting people, and things were going pretty good with the exception of Hebrew. Hebrew brought me to my knees and certainly humbled me time and time again. And then there was a continual humbling in all the other classes as well,
yes,
but Hebrew was particularly difficult. Yeah. And we got to the fall, I guess it was in October, and then it seemed like the wheels were just starting to fall off a little bit. Ansha came down with some anxiety, and it manifested itself physically. And so she went through a time of some really serious health struggles, went without sleep for multiple nights, and that's not good at all. And so I found that my studies were struggling too because I was not able to focus on my studies while my wife was doing so poorly. And so it was actually Tim and Genevieve that said, why don't you see if you can reach out to the counseling department at the church, at Grace Community Church. And, you know, I'm a seminary student. I'm trained to be a pastor. It seemed kind of weird that I would be looking to someone else for some biblical counseling. Yeah. But we filled out the paperwork and had a gentleman from the counseling department come down. And we are so thankful for that. He just came alongside of us, shouldered the burdens that we were feeling, Ange in particular. And it was through that time. And it was probably at least a few weeks of really serious struggle where I thought, you know, at any moment now, I'm going to just have to pull the plug, call Dr. Hargrove and pull out of seminary because Ange wants to go home. She just wants to
get
back.
That was kind of my mindset, you know, as submitted as I was to going to TMS, there was this part of my heart that just didn't, I'm going to give like partly be there. And so God just really needed to pull that thorn out. And that came, I had never struggled with anxiety before. And so that was brand new to me and completely overwhelming living in Los Angeles and had never homeschooled our children before. And now I'm homeschooling. I'm away from everything that's comfortable. And so when he does those things and strips those things from you, you just really realize, like, I need you. I need you in such a tangible way. We bought ourselves a plaque that said, "Every hour I need thee." And there was, a few weeks there was just on our knees begging, "Lord, we need one more hour with, I need to be able to do English and get through English. And Lord, I need one more hour. I need to do social studies and I get to social studies one more hour." And then we'd be done the day. And, you know, our boys are amazing that they watched mom and dad go through all of this and mom particularly. And struggling that they were so patient and kind and, you know, watching God's goodness and God's faithfulness and God working through, you know, the inadequacies of myself, right? And seeing how big he is. So they've also managed to see how faithful God is in all of this and how good and kind. He's so kind to take you through those things and he just carries you through. And so, yeah, John Bowers was from Texas, you know, a wonderful Texan man that came to give us biblical counseling. And, you know, it was a time I reflect on that I can use and you know, walk alongside somebody now that has struggled with that because I truly understand. I truly, truly understand. And it's hard. And so, yeah, sleep was not on the agenda for a very long time. But, Yeah, that was our, and then my mom came to visit. She, that was one of the things that the counselor had suggested, that is if anybody could come and support me, and my mom was 79, and she had said, yeah, I'll come. And so my mom came out, which, I mean, my dad had passed away just before we left to go to seminary, and so just not quite a year before we left, and he's with the Lord, so we celebrate as a family. I got to be home this year for the first time since he had passed away to celebrate that day with my family. So she came and she stayed with us for a long, long period of time, which was really good because she got to see seminary life as it was, family life as it actually was in California, and she got to report back to his parents, you know, exactly what it was like and not just what we were FaceTiming, what it was like and the difficulties, but yet the sheer joy of it all too. So.
Yeah. So those 3 years were incredibly intense. I went through seminary without taking a break. So I took fall semester, winter class, spring semester, summer classes, and did that from, well, really 2017 when we got there through to May of this year. And then, you know, adding the online classes beforehand. It's been 4 years of just consistent and steady study, but the Lord, again, has been very kind in allowing me to retain at least a fraction of that. And so we're very grateful. Along with attending seminary, of course, we needed to get plugged into a church, and Grace Community Church is a wonderful church to get plugged into. Our next door neighbors were attending Grace Life Fellowship Group. So we really like the name Grace Life. And just want to put that plug in there.
Yeah.
We started attending Grace Life Fellowship Group, and that is pastored by Phil Johnson and Mike Riccardi, who I was both familiar with before going to seminary, so it just seemed a very, very nice natural fit for us. And I guess, well, I started attending the shepherding meetings for Grace Life immediately because they invite all of the seminarians to come in and just observe that. So I did that for a time. And then I got involved with the outreach department, going to an abortion clinic in Mission Hills for every second Saturday. So they meet there Wednesdays and Saturdays consistently as they're performing surgical abortions there. And so there's a team from Grace Life, both men and women, who go there and try to plead with women going into the clinic to not go ahead and murder their unborn babies. And so it's a hostile environment. It was completely out of my comfort zone. It was a shock pretty much every time that I went. But at the same time, it was good in just having me think about how do I engage people in evangelistic conversations, gospel conversations. It also gave me an opportunity to do some street preaching out on the street in front of the waiting room. So the waiting room's on the second floor, so we set up a tripod and had a bit of a horn that we spoke through a microphone, and we just blasted the gospel up to the second floor there, and we were told by a security guard that they can hear us very clearly up there, even though they had turned up the music inside the waiting room to try and drown us out. But he said, the gospel is coming through there very clearly. So it was a great opportunity for me to work alongside a couple of other men who were instrumental in just showing me how to present the gospel in street preaching. I had never done that before. And so it was a good opportunity. Had a lot of opportunities to engage with a Catholic group there as well and try to plead with them as well to consider the gospel. They were very opposed to the gospel, which was, it was a burden on my heart, because you get to know these people by name personally and show up there week after week, and they're just completely cold and resistant to the gospel. In fact, we would hand out a Bible to somebody passing by, and they would hand out a tract that was titled, Is It Really Scripture Alone? And so it just seemed like, you know, I was speechless. I was speechless. But in any case, we tried to evangelize them as well. I also became a Bible study shepherd, co-shepherding with a couple of other seminarians or former seminarians. So I co-shepherd in the Valencia Bible Study Group, and it was a group that was a mixture of all sorts of different people from different walks of life. So there were people who were seniors, some of them still working, everyone from real estate agents to just your construction worker to other seminary families to college-age students, both men and women. And so it was a diverse group, and it was just a joy for 2 years to be a part of that group and just have our hearts knit together with them.
They just kind of really take you in there, like at Grace Community Church. You know, the seminary families are from all over the world, and where we're from, there's no diversity. And so, you know, you go to Grace Community Church, and just one of the favorite things is to sit there and see all these people from all over the world and to meet all these seminary families from all over the world. And you're knit together first as brothers and sisters in Christ. And you're like-minded and you're all there for the same purpose. And same with the families that are part of the church. And they take you in knowing, you know, at some point you're going to leave. And they just love on you and they love your families. And just an incredible, incredible place to be. And that was actually our first healthy church to be a part of was Grace Community Church. So we had to really go out to Los Angeles, and it's not in a nice area of Los Angeles. And here is this really beautiful body of, you know, 6,000 people, give and take on a Sunday, that just loves the Word of God. And Yeah, we still were pinching ourselves at the end when we left. That was just such a privilege to be there and to learn and grow and meet so many people that just really love the Lord and His Word. So yeah.
And for me, it cemented the necessity for expository preaching in the church context, to see the fellowship that was taking place there, to see the maturity of the believers that we were interacting with. And they were just simply coming to church Sunday after Sunday and hearing what God had to say from His Word, just clearly preached. And so when we saw the effect again of the Word of God on the hearts of man, we were just so impressed. I guess one other ministry that I became involved with in my second year at seminary was going on an STM. I had gone to Grace Community Church and the Master Seminary, I think with several misconceptions on missions particularly, and those got straightened out under the faithful guidance of actually a number of men. And so there was a pamphlet that was distributed one evening at Sunday Nights at Grace, and it sort of detailed the different STMs that were going out that year, and one of them caught my eye. It was going to Myanmar. It was a team that they were trying to assemble of teachers, and they wanted professionals to go into a Christian school in Yangon, Myanmar, to come alongside the teachers in this school and just give them some training, really, because they didn't have any certified teacher training. And so we gave them some ideas on how to present lessons, how to deliver lessons, how to teach, but also classroom management and so forth. And it gave us an opportunity to have devotional time in the classrooms with many of the classrooms were predominantly Buddhist students. And so it was a wonderful opportunity to proclaim the gospel in that school and to Buddhist children.
He comes home with the pamphlet and he's super excited because here's an STM it's tailor-made for him as a school teacher. And he just says gently, you know, just think about it, Ange. Just think about going to Myanmar. We have to remember, we've been married 21 years and we've never been apart. And so now he's going to actually go across the world and we're going to be apart for the first time. Like, we've never been, like, maybe he's gone to a men's retreat 20 minutes away from our house, or he's doing baseball provincials half an hour away from our house, like, but never to that extent. And so that means that the boys and I are going to be alone, either that's at home in Granthal or alone in Los Angeles. And so here comes that anxious feeling again. Oh, no. And you know what? With lots of prayer and just really realizing this type of mission is like, it's very specific. It's for teachers. And his Myanmar team is just one of the biggest joys that we have from Grace Community Church is this group. And they are so unique. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. And, you know, he went on that twice. And just had them probably, like he always says, I probably should not have had as much fun as I had, because it was just so much fun and so joyful. And the boys, they just love the boys as Myanmar team. And so it was such a good experience to go through, because it was, you know, God's faithful in that. Again, you know, I don't know why I always have to question that faithfulness. And I always say, you know, coming out of sanctuary, two words: faithful and sanctifying. He is faithful and I need to be sanctified more and more and more. And so, that was a wonderful, wonderful time. So,
yeah, it gave me an opportunity to meet people abroad and just fall in love instantly with many other believers. We met with pastors, with Christian teachers in this school. I had an opportunity to preach in a couple of different churches in Myanmar with the help of a translator, which was just an interesting experience in itself. I also had an opportunity to go into what they called a seminary there. They would invite men from different parts of Myanmar to come in. These are pastors or elders, church leaders, and they would come to this school to learn how to preach expositorially. And so I had the opportunity to teach through a couple of doctrines in this seminary. I taught through anthropology and also soteriology to these men that came from all over different parts of Myanmar. And that again with a translator. So that was again another very interesting experience. But it was good. Aside from that, I served on the ASB board there with the seminary. So I guess at some point my name came up as somebody that liked to or had been noticed as somebody that would like to serve other men in the seminary and kind of be the eyes and ears of the seminary. So the ASB is it's a group of seminarians that are kind of the eyes and ears of the student body. So if there are students that have questions or maybe want to raise issues, they would probably go to these men first and talk to them, and then we would bring that to the administration, particularly to Dr. Carl Hargrove, and we would discuss those things and just kind of be the, you know, always on ready to serve the other seminarians in any way possible to make their experience as great as it possibly could be. So that was a joy to serve the men in that way and to be able to serve alongside some other guys that were recognized for serving as well. So lo and behold, the end of the program came after 3 years. It felt very rushed. In hindsight, it would have been nice to maybe have taken a little bit longer and absorbed a little more of what it was. But this is according to the Lord's timing. He allowed us to have a scholarship there, in fact, a full ride scholarship, but it came with some conditions. And one of those when we first went was that I would finish the program in 3 years and then return to Canada and get involved in serving in a church. And so God was kind in allowing us to finish the program in 3 years and come back to Canada. Along the way, met up with James, with Mike, and with Paul in Los Angeles this last March during Shepherd's Conference, and sat down, had a wonderful conversation with them, was very encouraged by all that I heard. And what we have seen here now is exactly to the T of how they described this church would be. And so I remember after I spoke with them, I phoned Ange, and I was just really excited
very
about
excited.
Our conversation, and said, hey, this could be a possibility. I mean, along the way, there were other churches that I was in contact with, but James and I remained in regular contact now for the months that followed after Shepherd's Conference, and as the Lord just continued to, you know, show this as a possible opportunity, we've just tried to remain open to that, and thought that we'd end up back in Manitoba because we see just a serious need for exposition in the churches, even in the community that we come from. But none of the opportunities that have been presented at this point have been in our home province, and so we again just want to take steps of obedience, and we're open to going wherever the Lord would have us. So so here we are.
Yeah, and just to even fill in some of the gaps on that, it was Tim Wilson, I think, well, maybe Genevieve, that spoke to Aaron and started to kind of plant the seed about you guys. So Tim and Genevieve Wilson, you should all know, they're members of Grace Life, even still, I think, and yet he's pastoring in Westlock right now, finished the Master's Seminary just this past December. And so anyway, Genevieve mentioned to Aaron about this Spence family and that they were wrapping up in seminary, and just obviously you guys have a wonderful relationship with that family. And Aaron got some of the details.
Another kindness of the Lord.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just another kindness of the Lord. You know, just to find people, you're knit together as seminarians, but then when you're Canadian, just somebody that is from where you're from, right? And Tim and Jake are so busy in seminary. You know how busy it is in seminary. So Genevieve actually lived in the same community that we lived in. And so the first year we were there, and Monica, who lived beside us, Dave was also in seminary. So the three of us ladies on Tuesdays had supper together every Tuesday for the first year, because these guys only got home at 10 o'clock at night and they left at 6 in the morning. So you're just knit together even tighter, and then just being in the same community again just a special friendship. Very, very kind of the Lord to supply that and provide.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So needless to say, we had heard about this church. Through Genevieve, we had heard a lot about this church, which was very much an encouragement to us again.
Yeah, they're a wonderful couple, and Genevieve mentioned a couple of details about you, Jake. Said he was about 50 and had been a grade 8 math teacher, I think is the way it goes. And just a couple of details on the way home. And Aaron shared that with me, actually, at Pastor Mike's going away party. So Pastor Mike is, end of January it would have been, and no? Okay. See, the benefit of this is Aaron doesn't have a mic, so I'm free. No opportunity to correct here. But it's funny. I thought I might mess up some of the details on that, but nevertheless, the details were planted, and my wife will straighten me out later. And so I think I contacted Tim, as I recall, and asked Tim. I peppered him with questions about Jacob. And then got sort of a sense of the opportunity that was before us and brought that back to the guys and said, we got a lead and here he is and here's his name and here are some details about his, just who he is and what he's doing and got the green light to go ahead and reach out to him. And so I emailed him and we talked about getting together at the Shepherd's Conference, which is what you touched on just a moment ago. And then we began to dialogue, which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. Just right from the get-go, just felt very comfortable in the time that we spent together and felt very natural. And we prayed together and just talked theology and philosophy of ministry and even orthopraxy and all those kinds of things. And it was wonderful. I'm curious, I haven't asked you this, how have you found the process to this point so far?
It's good. It's been really good. It was very clearly laid out for me and for us. And so you told us the step-by-step process that was would be taken. And I was very encouraged by that, actually, because I don't think all churches go through that kind of a process. And it just really affirmed for me the diligence and the desire that you want to have here in order to make sure that this is according to God's plan. And so there was never any real timelines, definite timelines, hard and fast timelines that were, and we were flexible all along. So we just wanted to see where the Lord would lead this, and we've been very encouraged by all that. So we've enjoyed, first of all, myself getting to know you and first meeting at Shepherd's Conference and then having extended conversations over the last number of months and along the way always, being very informative as to, okay, well, this is what would happen next and these might be the time frames and so forth. So it's just put us at ease, really. Not that we had anxiety or worried about anything, but we've just had a very good piece about all of this, and so we're thankful for the process that you have here. I wish that other churches would follow that same model.
Yeah, you've been very flexible, and Ange, it's been great to get to know you a little bit. We had some moments in our FaceTime together where we got to connect, but it's just been wonderful just these last few days to get to know you a bit too. And
I really appreciate the thoughtfulness, like Jake said. Just there doesn't have to be a rush of everything, just to really be diligent into seeing, like, for you guys just to talk, right, and to see if you fit together, dialoguing and personalities. And I remember you gave the green light to Aaron and then we could finally FaceTime. Mm-hmm. And meeting some of the ladies via text and meeting some of the ladies via FaceTime throughout the past few months has been just a huge blessing and a huge encouragement, knowing that there's people in a church that you've never met that are praying for you, right? And going through the last bit of seminary, and it's crazy. It's a pace. I always say the TMS treadmill, they put you on there, they put it on high, and you sprint for 3 years. And so, through all of this, you have a church that, Jake is talking with, and that they're praying for you to finish well, which we wanted to finish well, and then praying for you, whatever God's will is in your church's life, and then for our own lives as well. So that's been a huge blessing for us. And coming here and really just feeling quite relaxed about it is knowing that we are in a state of transition, and coming back to Manitoba and not knowing what God has planned for us, but really just wanting, again, to be faithful and obedient and, you know, really, for me, one step. He doesn't ask you over here, just, yeah, you know, right here. And that's sufficient. So.
Yeah. So you touched on, Jake, just your ministry experience at Grace Community Church. From a ministry perspective and even a theological perspective, what are you really passionate about?
Yeah, that's a good question. As I was talking to Roland this afternoon, I guess a number of years ago, as I was serving in the church, I came across a book that actually a friend of mine had advised me to read through called Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. And I'm not exactly sure if there was anything in particular in the book that had me begin to reconsider how I would study Scripture, but it became apparent to me that, you know, there could be a way to systematize this a little bit, and it would be helpful to me to better understand who God is. And so somewhere shortly thereafter, reading that book, I came across systematic theology. I was not familiar with the term systematic theology. I didn't know what that was, but very quickly desired that when I found out what it was. So I bought a couple of different systematic theology books at the local thrift stores and just began pouring through that, and then very quickly decided that because it was such a good way for my mind to wrap itself around what the Bible is and who God is and Christ and the Holy Spirit and sin, salvation, man, the church, the doctrine of last things, you know, and how all of Scripture really fits into those categories, it just seemed like a really good way to study Scripture. And so I began a systematic theology study in the first church that we were part of, and then began one in the second church that we were a part of in our hometown. And it was just really rewarding to be able to study intensely through those various doctrines week by week, you know, trying to tackle one particular topic at a time. So I really enjoy systematic theology. I see the benefit, and I've heard of the benefit even as I was in seminary, as other pastors there were saying that the study of systematic theology, particularly with men in the church, had brought about change in the church. So systematic theology would be something that I would say I enjoy. More recently, I've been studying the atonement particularly, so no pun intended. So the difference between limited, unlimited, and a friend of mine from seminary encouraged me very much to take a look at the exegetical arguments for unlimited atonement, which I wanted to be familiar with the arguments that side is making. So I have a book written by Leitner that I've been taking a look at, and then I've also got some very good resources on particular redemption, which are very good as well. So that's something that I've been studying more recently. I was involved with the men's ministry in one of the churches that we had been a part of before going to the Masters. And so we did a couple of things there, actually. We would take time to study through various topics with the men. We'd meet on Saturday mornings. I'd pick up some brekkie, or somebody else would. It wasn't only me that was leading and teaching there. There were some other men as well. But I guess I did, you know, give some leadership towards that. And so we would study 1 or 2 weeks in a row, and then we'd go out and do a service project. Maybe there was somebody in the church that needed something done that they couldn't do. We would go there and do some construction work or that kind of thing. We'd help out in the community as we saw those needs arise. So I've enjoyed working together with men. There are a few men back in Grunthal who are particularly near and dear to my heart, who when I first met them, I would say that they were just moving through life with not being overly passionate about Christ. You know, they had a good Bible knowledge, they were saved, but not really, you know, moving forward in with any vibrancy, I guess. And so the Lord used myself, I believe, to spur them on a little bit. And so I've enjoyed watching now a few of those men really come to life and grow and even surpass me in a number of areas in their studies because they're so hungry for the Word of God. There's an ICL group now that meets in Grunthal. There's a group that came out to Shepherd's Conference. The first year it was 3, the second year it was 9, and last year I think it was 11 or 12. So that grew year after year. And so that's a mixture of men who are not currently in leadership, but then also pastors from our hometown and other elders, church leaders, and so forth. So I'm all too happy to try to spur men on, knowing that in my own life, I would say that was something that was missing. I didn't necessarily have somebody that I would call a mentor, you know, early on in my Christian walk, and I see how vital that is in the life of the church to have men training other men. And so that would be something that I would certainly desire to do as well, to spur other men on. That's not necessarily for church leadership, but just to be a man of God on a day-to-day basis, to be a shepherd to their family, to be a good coworker, whatever it takes, but to be a man of God. Mm. And so that's also something that I would say is close to my heart.
Yeah. Well, I think those passions really dovetail nicely with the kinds of things that we would see Jake being able to do here. For one, we think adult Sunday school would be a phenomenal place for you to plug in and exercise some of that systematic theological teaching that you love and enjoy. And that even gives you an opportunity to piggyback off what Pastor Mike did, as he did a really thorough systematic study of soteriology. And so there's that. We obviously would love to see you get involved in biblical counseling and just being a part of that ministry. There's always lots of need for biblical counselors. So certainly that. Right now, Adam's the guy running the men's ministry, and he, you know, needs to kind of chime in on his plans for future ministry, but potentially even getting involved in the men's ministry would be a wonderful opportunity for you to consider. I know you've expressed a desire to do something like the fundamentals of the faith for new believers, and we've often talked about having that kind of a ministry here at Grace Life, and so there's that opportunity. And there's one that really comes out of some of the ministry that you've done at Grace Community Church, which is outreach.
Yeah.
And, you know, outreach is an area of our church that's been somewhat underdeveloped. We kind of gave that to Mike early on, but we just stacked his plate so full with so much other ministry that he didn't have the time to devote to that. And then Mike really did a phenomenal job in putting in place the baptism and membership ministry, as well as the Bible study shepherds ministry. And my heart to do those ministries grew and increased. And now with the doctorate being done, my bandwidth opens up. So I've taken on those ministries. And so that kind of frees up a potential associate pastor to come in and grab that outreach ministry and see if we can't do a little more domestically. We've obviously developed the foreign missions aspect of our ministry over the last number of years. And so that would be a great opportunity for you to come in. And obviously the laws are a little bit different in terms of what you can do here in Canada, but you've expressed a heart to do an evangelism class. And so, yeah, that's a great opportunity for you.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, no, the evangelism is key as well. And I realized in going to California, again, there was a lot of growth that took place in my own life over the 3 years, sitting in, under microcardium, the evangelism and apologetics class was an eye-opener for me, and I realized that I really hadn't been doing a good job with taking opportunity to proclaim the gospel to people in my home community, even to family members. And so that challenged me immensely, and I was so grateful to have the opportunity to, through several different exercises, really, to just think through carefully, how would I steer a conversation in a gospel direction? How can I take advantage of conversations that the Lord in his providence is so obviously presenting me, and yet I'm not giving him credit for things when I ought to be, or I'm not actually presenting the gospel when those opportunities arise. So I've been very grateful to have had the opportunity first to take the class, but then to put that into practice on the streets of Los Angeles, and had so many interesting situations arise. You know, people that would walk up that, I mean, they just frighten me just looking at them, right? And you don't know, are they going to receive this? Are they going to stop? Are they going to just put up their hand? Or are they going to punch you in the face? I don't know, right? But I mean, the Lord knows, and I just need to be faithful. And so some of the roughest characters, I was surprised at how they became so weak and docile, really, as I would talk to them and I'd ask them questions and they'd actually answer all of my questions, sometimes quite timidly. So you just never know how the Lord will have that person respond to the truth of his word. But if we don't take that opportunity, then we'll never know, right? So it was a great opportunity for me to just practice that and to continue to practice that. Doesn't mean that I've got that perfected. I find that most of the gospel opportunities that I have begin as just an uncomfortable, they begin uncomfortably because you don't know how it's going to go, right? But I've been so encouraged by seeing how the Lord works through those things. And so, yeah, that's something I would certainly want to pursue.
Well, Ange, question for you. What do you see as your primary ministry as far as your husband is concerned, your family is concerned, being a part of a local church, your husband being in ministry? What would be your primary ministry?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I would have answered that differently prior to going to seminary. And so, you know, one of the things I learned at seminary, I participated in EWG every Wednesday, but they also have something completely separate for the seminary wives. And so there's a training ground for the seminary wives to participate in. As the men are being trained, the women are being trained to be, if you want to say, a pastor's wife, for lack of a better term. But And it kind of retooled my thinking. I was really busy doing ministry work before we left, and at the detriment sometimes to my family, right? With the right intentions and the right motives, but with the not proper understanding of my role. So going there and, you know, hearing time and time again that, you know, your wives need to be your partner with your husband. You're a partner with your husband. And so our 3 years have been so very busy, and so I think my most important role is to uphold Jake in prayer, to encourage him, to be his wife, to be the mother to my children, you know, serve in the church where I can, but that primarily is my biggest role, and I see that having walked alongside some of the amazing women that I got to be a part of their lives and watching them do this at Grace, that their men can be the shepherds that they need to be, right? And so, yeah, that was very eye-opening for me. You know, not that my nose was out of joint about that, but it was just a retooling of my thinking. And, you know, having struggled so much the beginning, I would say is a blessing that helped me retool just where I need to be. I need to be at home. I need to be, you know, helping him. He wouldn't have been able, and I don't say this to toot my own horn, but he wouldn't have been able to do seminary had I not taken on that role that God had designed for me to take on. And it was terribly busy. It was like I said, the treadmill was fast. And so there were so many weeks where, you know, babe, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it this week. And, you know, no, Jake, you were just going to, you can do this. You can do this. We're going to keep praying and keep plugging away one assignment at a time, one 25-page paper at a time, like, and getting to the end of the week and then going, wow, Lord, you know, again, completely sustained. And so just really that. And if, Lord willing, we're here, it's another transition. It's another change. And just really, you know, adapting to that for the boys. They did very well in Los Angeles. And there's so many amazing young people in this church for them to connect to. That's a huge blessing. So that's just kind of, yeah. And enjoying, you know, I know that Erin is doing the EWG and I've peppered her with many questions on how it works. And I really enjoyed that at Grace. That was an absolute privilege to be a part of, because I could have never found 40 women in my entire community to study like that. Hmm. Never mind, I went Wednesday mornings and there was like 300 women, and then they did it in the evening. And again, I pinched myself because there's opportunities where my leader couldn't make it and she would ask me just to, you know, help lead the group for the morning. And yeah, it is such a special place to be. So, you know, to be able to join in on that, or like learn alongside the ladies here. Be part of that would be incredible too. So
yeah, and just touching on that, when it comes to things you just enjoy doing in your service to the body of Christ, are there things that you really just love that you're
you know, I just really enjoy serving. I think that I'm not necessarily a gifted teacher. I really am the organizational person behind that.
Okay.
That's more of a gifting for myself. But at Grace Community Church, I served in the nursery. And I mean, who doesn't want to hold a baby for an hour and a half? That was like, I could so do that. And or be on the floor with the two-year-olds and playing trucks. Like that was such a huge blessing. And to be part of the SEM Wives ministry and to be part of the EWG ministry, just to walk alongside some of the ladies there and be a part of that. But yeah, you know what? It's been so busy. You know what? I had a feeling you were going to ask that. And I said, I don't know if I've had a hobby the last 3 years because we've been so busy. But I do enjoy sports. So I don't know if my body would enjoy that anymore as much. But reading. I enjoy reading. So
I would say that she certainly has the gift of hospitality.
Mm. Of having people over.
When we, before leaving for California, on a weekly basis, we would have people in, and it didn't really matter the size of the crowd that was coming into our home, but Ange always wanted to host and was open to hosting. So we had Bible studies in our home, and she just looked after the people so amazingly.
Easy to do, though.
So I'm not sure why that didn't continue in California, maybe just because of our busy schedule.
We lived in 800 square feet, that's why.
But that's something that, you know, I think we're very much looking forward to doing again, just gathering in our home, times of fellowship with the body.
We were so excited to get, when we moved to California, there's a ministry through Grace Community Church. It's called the Wish Ministry, welcoming international students with hospitality. So we moved into our apartment complex and it's completely furnished. They supplied absolutely everything. So there was beds, there was couches, there was everything. And they had a dining room table for us. And we both went, it was glass. Like, oh, we have three boys and we have a glass table. This is not going to go well. So I don't know how long we were there. And it was really small. We actually couldn't even put the food on the table. And if we had anybody over, somebody else had to sit at the counter because it barely fit the five of us. And then there's on Facebook, you guys probably know, there was a thing, it's called SEM Swap. So if a seminary family didn't want something, they would just put it on the Facebook page. And there was somebody that advertised a free dining room set, and it was huge. I said, Jake, we need to get this dining room set. We can have 8 people around the table. And so we left it behind and we left it with the neighbors so that now they could have the 8 yeah. people around the table. But it's amazing, like just to sit down and have fellowship of a meal with somebody is just, you know, you just get to know people on a basis like that. And so that's something I thoroughly enjoy. And that we would often host the youth groups or, you know, I would host field trips or whatever at the farm and set up that and stuff like that. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for bringing that out, Jake.
Some of those evenings even went till 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know how it is here, but yeah, they're long marathon.
Depends whose studies. House they're at. If it's my house, I'm probably going to pull the plug.
Yeah, but they were always at our house. That was it.
Yeah. Well, it's been good, guys. Thank you so much for this time and letting us get to know you like this. We want to give everyone an opportunity to get to know you in the foyer, and there's some desserts and refreshments and everything. So this was wonderful. Thank you so much. And why don't we just end our time in prayer? Well, Father, we thank you. What a wonderful testimony of your grace. We just thank you so much for the way that you've worked in this family's life. And thankful to get to know them. And Father, we just commit them into your hands. We know that you have marked out for them where you want them to be as it relates to future ministry. And Lord, if that is here at Grace Life, then we are here, Father, with open arms. And so, Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. Bless now even our fellowship that we'll enjoy and just the rest of the week that the Spence family is here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for everyone on live stream and for tuning in. And I guess we will, Lord willing, see you all on Sunday. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Yeah.